What's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN, presented by Game Plus Network. Always appreciate you guys hanging out here today. A busy show. It is officially March Madness. Let the madness begin. I guess it officially gets underway on Tuesday, officially on Thursday, but we are going to talk madness all week long on this show. Actually, for the next couple weeks, it will be heavy madness. We're going to start strong here. We got Frank Brank, a.k.a. Bank. He's going to jump in. We're going to talk basically about everything. It's an early look. A lot of great content already over at ftnbets.com. I mean, there's going to be endless amount of content on our YouTube page as well, but we're going to hopefully take care of you guys here that like to get involved when it comes to the madness. If you're hanging out live on our FTN YouTube page, we appreciate you. Smash the like button. You have any questions, any comments, now is the time to get them in. If you're watching on Game Plus, we always appreciate you watching on Game Plus. A great lineup on Game Plus Network, night in and night out. If you are watching on Game Plus and you do have any questions and you hear something that you see on this show, maybe you're listening on iTunes or Spotify or whatever, we are available wherever it is that you listen to your favorite podcasts. You have any questions, like I said, you can jump on over to this YouTube page. This video will be available on the YouTube page for free, also on ftnbets.com, and you can get in there and you have any questions. The DMs are always open. I'm not going to lie, I'm not the March Madness expert, but we have some experts that are going to jump on this show, not just today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, and throughout the entire tournament with picks and whatnot. But today we are going to look at futures, take an early look at each region, where we see the dust settling, like sleeper teams, who's going to just break the brackets, like bust them wide open. I want to avoid those teams, right? Don't we all, right? But we want to see some of the upsets. I want to talk to Frank about who he's feeling, which number one seed he thinks has the easiest path, maybe some teams that he's going to stay away from, some early matchups as well. We're going to dive into all of that stuff. So if you have any questions, please leave them there. If we don't get to them on this show today, I always circle back and I'll get to them, in the YouTube section, the comment section, or address them on tomorrow's show, Wednesday's show, or Thursday's show. And if you're not really into the March Madness and you don't really like to make brackets, or you want to, you don't really feel like you know what you're doing, hey, I mean, join the club, right? That's why we're going to have some people here to join and help us out. But there's really no excuse not to get involved with the madness. Over at ftnbets.com, we have a free March Madness bracket tournament challenge for you. Check it out. First place, $1,000. And that's not Canadian. Those north of the border, that's like $2,000. That's $1,000 right there for you for first place. Jokes aside, second place, $350. Third, $150. You see there at the bottom, it is free to enter. You check out ftnbets.com. You make the account absolutely free. It takes you 2 seconds to make an account. While you're at it, why don't you just head to ftnbets.com/free, sign up for the free newsletter. You're going to get some free content, always a free pick from FTN Bets across all the sports, and some access to the tools, Discord channel, all that good stuff just by signing up for the newsletter. But hey, listen, this is the free bracket challenge courtesy of FTNBets.com. Takes 2 seconds. Head on over to FTN Bets, sign up, and then make your picks. And like you see there, first place, $1,000, $350 for a second, and $150 for third. Frank is hanging by in a little bit. There is a lot to get to on this show. Also said it's officially March Madness. You know, it's officially tamper time in the NFL. I guess like teams can sign, or players can sign with teams. You know, I saw that Chase Edmonds came down. I think Tino told me this, Chase Edmonds to Miami. I guess that's not going to be official till Wednesday, but we're going to see now a lot of players just kind of going to link in with certain teams over these next 24 to 48 hours. So we'll break that down as it happens as well. But Edmonds to Miami, just initial thoughts off the top of my head is, I like Edmonds. I really do. I think he's like, could be a true bell cow back, but a lot of teams are going with like multiple backs. So he's not going to be the only back in Miami. He's going to be guys sprinkled in there, but Arizona's got a lot of free agents, so they bring back Connor. Looks like Kirk is going to be gone from Arizona. It's got A.J. Green there to sign, and, you know, DeAndre Hopkins coming off the injury as well. So it's going to be a lot of moving pieces in Arizona. We won't touch on the NFL all that much. This is going to be like a big madness day. A lot of movement in Major League Baseball as well, especially from the Minnesota Twins. I mean, acquiring Sonny Gray. Then they trade Garver, Isaiah Conner for Leffa, and then they flip him for Gary Sanchez, Josh Donaldson gone to the Yankees. So not a ton of signings, some low-key signings, but a lot of the big fish are still out there. Freddie Freeman looks like he's close to the Dodgers. Will the Braves match that? I know people north of the border in Toronto are hoping that Freddie Freeman could go to Toronto. I don't think that's going to happen. They did get UC Kikuchi. And Carlos Rodon went to San Fran. We'll touch on all that movement. But again, a lot of the big names are still out there. Carlos Correa, Chris Bryant, Trevor Story. So a lot of big names. Nelson Cruz went to Washington. I thought that was a little bit of a surprising move. But the Nats are going to try to compete, right? They're going to try to keep Soto happy, I guess. A little bit of protection in that lineup. Bell, Soto, Cruz. It's not in a bad, like, 2-3-4 in there. It's okay. But they still will be probably one of the worst teams in the MLB this season. The totals came out over the weekend as well, so we'll dive back into futures and stuff, but today is going to be some madness, a little bit of NFL talk. Only one game on the ice. The NHL schedule makers don't do a good job. Yesterday there was 11 games. Today there's one. Tomorrow there's 11. It just doesn't make any sense, but it's just the one game today. It's Ottawa and Arizona. I got some picks towards the end of the show, and also going to help you guys set up week 21 of the fantasy hockey season. For most people, week 23 is fantasy hockey playoff time, 23, 24, 25. My leagues are 24, 25, and 26, with 26 being the two-week period. It's like a week and a half. Most teams playing 6 or 7 games. So I don't think a lot of people want to mess around with that final week and a half when it comes to fantasy hockey championship time. So your fantasy hockey playoffs could start in a couple weeks. So I'm going to take a look at the teams that play 4 games for the week and have a playoff guide for you available for free this week over at ftnfantasy.com as well. And it is week 1 today of NBA season-long playoffs. I don't think too many people play fantasy basketball season-long. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's kind of died down. I'm in a couple leagues myself, mostly Roto, but I don't think a lot of people are playing season long. But if you are and you have any questions, we can hit that up as well. Team's going to drop by. Maybe we touch on a lot of the NBA, MLB, and NFL in the block or two that we have with Tino. But enough messing around off the top. Actually, you want to get to that, Tino? You got the QR code ready to go? Yeah, this is pretty cool. I was messing around on Mean Streets on Friday when I saw the replay on Game Plus Network. And yeah, you just scan it with your phone and it brings you to, you know, a sports book that's available in your area, and away you go. I mean, there's going to be a lot of promos, sign-up codes, bonuses really across the board. A lot of things happening, you know, in the sports world, especially those that are north of the border. We're getting these sports books that are going to be available in April, PointsBet, FanDuel, DraftKings. It's exciting times. It really is. So scan this code and watch all the goodness come to your phone, courtesy of FTNBets.com. All right, Frank is in here next. I'm excited. March Madness is awesome. It was a great week. There was a lot of entertaining games, a lot of some buzzer beaters. So we're going to get Frank's initial thoughts, start with the overall futures and break down each region, kind of get some sleepers from him, teams that he's feeling, and just early odds from some of the games that are going to get underway this week. It's Madness Talk here on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany and a real Frank Brank, a.k.a. Frank Bank, checking in hot here for us on a Monday afternoon. Frank, what's going on, man? I know you're a busy guy. Did you get any sleep last night after Selection Sunday?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm always like slightly disappointed by the bracket because I like look at my numbers and I'm like, what are they doing? But I do think this year was probably better than most, which did help me sleep at night. I'm glad I could link up with you this time without the technical difficulties as well.
Ah, man, those things happen. So, okay, so you were sitting back probably thinking that there were one or two teams that you had in the tournament potentially that didn't get in. Is that your feeling? Like a couple snubs here off the top?
Yeah, but in all honesty, I think this year, from the snubs perspective, I don't know if it was just easier or what, but it was almost like the teams that played well got in. Like, we didn't see any teams that, like, purely broke down. You look at, like, a Rutgers team or Notre Dame getting into the tournament purely based on the fact that they were playing better at the end of the year than most of these other teams that didn't quite sneak in. I don't know. I guess you could potentially make a case for, like, Syracuse, who had a little bit of a run there or whatever, but like I just don't, they weren't a good team. Like the overall, you know, I know they sort of depend on the net, but you know, overall they weren't a good team outside of winning a couple games at the end of the season, whereas some of the other teams were, you know, playing particularly well or won the conference tournament or whatever it might be, got the conference, you know, like team like Indiana getting down to the down towards the end of their conference tournament there. I don't hate the bracket this year as much as most, but we could probably talk about some seedings that went a little bit crazy, in my opinion. And in some of the ways that they built these brackets is kind of strange.
Yeah. Guys, if you have any questions, now is the time. I see Tommy Robertson hanging out. I really think Tennessee could make the Final Four. Like, that's a team that I'm really feeling. That's a team that I think could easily have been a two, for example. We can get into that in a little bit. Before, I wanted to start futures with you in a little bit. But like I said, guys, if you're hanging out with us live on our FTN YouTube page, now is the time to get the questions in. If you're watching a little bit later on Game Plus, you could still head over to our YouTube page, ask those questions. You see Frank's Twitter handle there. As well, you can always reach out if you have any questions here, and this video will be live, like I said, on our YouTube page, so you'll have a couple days to kind of digest everything. One thing I want to say, Frank, off the top, for those that are just checking in here now, is we do have the free tournament. I said I plugged it in the first block. I wanted to give it a little bit of love again. Just the bracket challenge, absolutely free, no excuse, right? $1,000 for first place, second place $350, third $150, free to enter. Just make an account over at ftnbets.com and make your picks, and away you go. So let's start with just the overall futures here for odds. And you know, obviously Zag up at the top here, number one seed again overall, a second year in a row. This is the 23rd consecutive appearance for Zaga. Arizona, Kentucky, Kansas, those are the four ones there, or Baylor actually is the one, Kentucky not. Auburn, Villanova, Tennessee, talked about Tennessee. I think, you know, Kutry is a guy that you follow, we all follow FTN. I think I saw him tweet that he had a 71 future on them a few weeks ago, which is, I think, spectacular. Duke, I saw a question here from somebody. Should I just, people buying into the narratives, Frank, and you know this, right? Am I crazy to sprinkle Duke, you know, 16-1 coach K last tourney? You know, you're gonna get that kind of stuff. UCLA, and I was really impressed with them over the past week. Purdue, Texas Tech, and then Illinois to round it out. There's a big gap, right, from Houston to Illinois in there at 28-50. Who stands out on this board? And we'll dive into the regions and the matchups and stuff, but any team in particular jump out to you here?
No, in these markets, you know, the future market's a little bit tough, right? Because it's a one-way market. But I think in other books, you can find Houston at 40-1, which is the number that I played it at. And that's the number I would still play it at. I think they have some value there, and we'll break down that region. But Houston, for example, I have my own rankings. I rank them 8th overall. But you look at KenPom, they're 4th overall, and they have a 5 seed. 4th overall in the country, and they have a 5 seed. This has been a team that's been one of those talking heads versus the smart people sort of issues here. I think Houston is a very good team. We saw them in the Final Four last year. They got rolled on the first half by Baylor, who is, again, as similar to this year, like an NBA style efficiency basketball team that's unbelievably good. Do I think that Houston makes the Final Four, wins an national championship? Like, are they going to be the ones to do it? No, but I think there's a ton of value still in the market with 33-1 out there. I saw some 40-1 out there. I think the graphic said 28, but you can get some better numbers out there on Houston. I would take them. This is an incredibly good defensive team. I think they had the best defense in college basketball last year, and they made the Final Four when a lot of people said that we were crazy. And like I said, this has sort of been a contention with like the people on ESPN and the media and saying like this Houston team's not very good because they played a few close games. When we look at them from an analytical perspective, they're very efficient on offense, and they have arguably one of the best defense in the country. In combination with that, you look at their route to the Final Four or to the national championship, it's a lot easier than most other teams.
Yeah, and you're right. FanDuel has them at 40-1. That board was from DraftKings strictly only, but use our free prop shop to get the best possible odds. 40-1, 33-1 in some spots you mentioned, BetMGM, but FanDuel does have them at 40-1. Let's get into some of the regions here, Frank, and you know we'll get into some picks and stuff. Let's start here. Tino, what do you got? The South? Let's go with the South, and we'll roll through some of this. So you got Arizona up at the top here. Houston, as you mentioned, the 5, Illinois at 4. Michigan, Longwood, right? First ever appearance. I think a pretty good story, but I really like this Tennessee squad. I need you to maybe talk me off of them. Villanova at 2. What do you make of just the way things have shaped out here in the South?
Yeah, I really like this bracket. Like, this is the one I think that makes a lot of sense to me. I would obviously say that Houston should be like a 2 or 3 seed overall anyway. But with them sitting at the 5, you look at the Arizona, Illinois, Tennessee, Villanova. I mean, these are teams that will straight up punch you in the face. All 4 or 5 of these teams at the top are unbelievably skilled teams. Ohio State really struggled down the stretch, but you look at a team like Loyola Chicago, who made a run last year, very good defensively, very well coached, very well disciplined team. They're favored actually against Ohio State, but that game could go either way. This is just a great, great bracket. I think the best games from, at least from my perspective, my viewing experience of, you know, I like when teams are tough and they sort of punch you in the mouth. You have Kofi Coburn over there in Illinois. Houston has some absolute dogs. This bracket is unbelievably talented and skilled. This is the one I probably like the most. Tennessee, I have a future on them at 50-1. They went and won the damn conference tournament. I was hoping they were going to lose because I was going to keep betting them at like 30 or 40. You know, I was actually going to put another wager in, but I bet them earlier this year at 50. Nice. It's 20-ish. I don't know that there's a lot of value just because of the draw. I was hoping them and Houston got better draws. They didn't quite get better draws because this is, in my opinion, top to bottom, the best bracket on the board so far this year.
So do you believe that this is the toughest path for a 1 seed then in Arizona? Would you say that?
I would say that because this is just purely like model me running these simulations. I think Illinois is better than what people think. They don't shoot the ball particularly well, but they are so tough in the post, and they may not have to shoot the ball particularly well in this division, right? Like, or in this region. The Tennessee doesn't shoot the ball well. Houston is good offensively, but their main draw is perimeter defense, right? So, and they can, like, if Houston has one issue, it's going to be, well, everyone has this issue, but their main issue in this side is going to be defending Kofi Coburn in the second round, when or if they do play in that second round. They're not particularly big. They sort of remind me of like the Celtics team we talked about a few weeks back. Anybody can guard anybody, but they can be really susceptible to a dominant center. But beyond that, I think this is the toughest route for any of these teams. I mean, I haven't even talked about Villanova. They have arguably the best coach in the country in Jay Wright, and they make a run every year. Last year, Connor Gillespie was injured and didn't get to play in the tournament. And he's their best player right now, senior now this year. Unbelievably skilled shooter, and has played extremely well down the stretch. So I haven't even talked about Villanova, but you look at them, they're going to run into Loyola, who's an incredibly skilled defensive team. Ohio State, who struggled down the stretch, but could beat anybody with EJ Liddell. And then you get, you know, some level of like Tennessee, Illinois, Houston, Arizona. This is a really tough side.
Tito, bring that back up. It really is. Yeah. And we did start strong here. And I think you have a pick, right, from already Illinois, like 7.5, I'm seeing. Are you backing them off the hop? Is this maybe the first pick that you like here?
Yeah, I think this is still available, and it's my biggest edge. Illinois -7.5 against Chattanooga. Chattanooga is a good perimeter defensive team. but they're horrendous inside the three-point line, which we don't really talk that much about. But when the center is Kofi Coburn on the other side, you're going to have a problem, right? If you can't defend the post, you're going to have a big problem with Kofi Coburn. Not even just him alone either. Coleman Hawkins is 6'10". He plays out on the perimeter as well. He can shoot it a little bit. Illinois, not overall a good shooting team, but they're just not going to need it. Chattanooga's one path to like even staying in this game is getting Kofi Coburn out of the game, like with foul trouble. That, I think that's really their only way, or they're going to have to shoot like, you know, 60% from the floor or something crazy. And I just don't see that happening. Illinois is still a good and skilled defensive team overall. They're just going to dominate them with size. Their two biggest guys are an inch or two taller than anyone else that's going to play on Chattanooga. And I just don't really see it happening. Chattanooga's basically going to have like a 2 and a 3 trying to guard a 4 and a 5, and it's just not going to work at all. Not with how skilled the bigs are for Illinois. These guys, Coleman Hawkins and Kofi Coburn, don't always play together, but when they do, it's going to be really tough for anyone to guard them.
I'm going to put you on the spot with each region. I know it's early and you're going to be doing lots of content. So Tino, one more time, let's bring this up. Let's get Frank's thoughts here on who, just one team maybe to come out, or just the two, right? Into the Elite Eight or something. Like, who are the two teams that you see maybe going the distance from this region? Or if you have like a sleeper team that you think could maybe, bust some brackets.
Yeah. I don't know that we'll get a sleeper necessarily, because like we said, all
so good.
Top five teams in this region are all very good. The best two teams in this region, in my opinion, are Arizona and Houston. They will have to play each other in the Sweet 16 if it comes to that. But I think Arizona-Tennessee is probably the most likely outcome. But from an odds perspective, I like to take Houston first based on the odds, and then Tennessee based on those futures odds or Final Four odds, the second most out of this region.
I love it. Okay, so we started strong. Let's break, Frank. Hang on. We'll roll through some of the regions. We want to keep the balance here on Mean Streets. So don't go anywhere. We'll continue the madness here on Game Plus Network. Chris Media, Frank Abrank here with you on Mean Streets, presented by Game Plus Network. We are talking March Madness. We just went over the South. Let's talk East. Let's talk East region here. We're going to roll through all the regions. A reminder that we have a free bracket challenge for you over at ftnbets.com. Baylor, the one seed. I think, Frank, this is the one seed that I have the most concerns with. Just some health concerns there. Get your thoughts on that in a little bit. Yeah. North Carolina, I believe, was the 8 seed last year, too, and I think they got bounced, or last time in the tournament, I think they got bounced. UCLA, man, I've been really impressed. I was really impressed with them over the past week. You got Texas in there. That's, I think, a pretty intriguing 6-11 matchup there. Purdue, Yale, they escaped and got in the Ivy League. I watched that game just like heartbreaking at the end. I thought it was just some sloppiness in that basketball game. But Kentucky in there at 2 as well, which obviously Kentucky's always a threat. So we see DJ Betts in the house. UCLA can lose to Akron, upset city. I don't know. Are you going there, Frank? Is that a potential upset that you see, man? I really like this UCLA team, man.
UCLA had this lull in the middle of the season that made me think, like, all right, they're not that good. Because coming into the season, I was like, this team isn't that good. Johnny Juzang got hurt and kind of set out some, and they had a little bit of a lull in there. I don't think Akron's going to win. I don't. UCLA has played better down the stretch. They the tournament last year, I think, gave them a little bit of unjust credit. A lot of those teams just choked down the stretch on free throws, and like UCLA was like skinning by and not playing particularly well on either side of the ball, and just they played okay on the defensive side. But I think they're a little bit overrated, but I don't think that they're going to have a problem with Akron. We could probably talk about the St. Mary's game. St. Mary's another team that's just like solid, not great, but solid, that could win. But even at that, I do think if you twist my arm, I think the 1-2 games here.
Yeah. What do you make of Baylor? Was I incorrect to say that out of the number one seed, like all the 4-1s, that maybe they're the team to have most concerns with? Or what do you think?
I would say in terms of concern, I think they're the best chance to lose in the second round out of all the teams. I don't even know if that's really an indictment on them. UNC is just so athletic and so big and talented like they always are. And they're playing – they played well down the stretch, right? Like they wiped out Duke, who I rate very highly. That game, I had that game listed about a 5-point favorite for Baylor. That's not always the case with, you know, number one seeds in the second round. I mean, you're talking about like a 40% chance that they lose that game, right? Even if they end up with Marquette's a solid, you know, kind of similar to St. Mary's, not great, but solid team. I do think UNC will win. I have them as like medium favorites, I think 4 or 5-point favorites. And then they're going to end up with Baylor. And Baylor is, you know, they're injured right now, but they're so good on in terms of like efficiency. They're the one team, and this was apparent last year in the tournament as well, they're the one team that looks like an NBA team when you watch them, right? They can shoot it. They defend really well. They just do everything well. They run these back cuts from the corner. So, you know, as soon as you come out to challenge the corner threes that they love to take, they'll back screen on top of it and hit some back cuts there. So they really have some creative stuff that most college basketball teams don't really deal with on a day-to-day basis. And that's why they've been so successful, particularly against good teams.
All right, so the same sort of questions I'm going to ask you with every region here, like maybe two that you think are going to come out, and also like a team that could maybe make some noise, right? There's always a sleeper team or so that, you know, maybe could go on a bit of a run. Do you see one here?
Yeah, this is similar to the South? To the South, but not as drastic because teams are top heavy, right? Like Baylor and Kentucky are better than everyone else. And I'm not even so sure that Purdue's far behind them. You wouldn't be surprised to see UCLA or even North Carolina or Texas or somebody like that. Virginia Tech played really well down the stretch and found their way into the tournament. I wouldn't be surprised to see that, but I think these 1, 2, and 3s are much better. Purdue was the number one team in the country a couple weeks ago. They sort of limped down the stretch, but they have size and athletic ability that most – I saw a lot of people picking Yale. It's just not going to happen. I think Purdue's like a 16-point favorite in that game, and I have them favored by like 18, I think. So they're favored by as much in some cases as the number one seeds in some other regions. So I do think the Purdue-Kentucky game is probably going to be the biggest game winner if it comes to that. But even looking at that, I mean, you know, Texas is going to give Purdue a game. And if they play as kind of choppy as they did down the stretch, they're going to struggle against that Texas team that's a little bit underrated. So, yeah, I think less so. Baylor, I think, is the obvious pick. I see a lot of people taking Kentucky. I'm not as high on Kentucky. They rely on high scoring games and rely on shooting, I think, a little bit too much. Not crazy efficient on defense in my model. You look at it, they played Tennessee twice on the stretch, lost to them. They played them the first time and shot literally 70% and won the game by, you know, like close to a million points. But in any game, I think that they get challenged by size, like a Purdue matchup, I think they're going to struggle a little bit more than they have throughout the regular season. And they might struggle, particularly with Baylor, who has been a good defensive team for like 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah, Purdue 15.5-point favorites. A lot of Indiana chatter here in the chat. I mean, they're still going to beat Wyoming, but if you were to pick one of the two, Indiana, do you think they get in? I guess they're technically in with the new rules. They are in. Yeah. This is not a play-in game.
I see a lot of people were excited about Wyoming. I think Indiana will win that game. I think there's something to be said about the scheduling difference and the toughness and things. When you watch an Indiana team play, you know, in the Big Ten and have a lot better competition than a team like Wyoming, I think there's it's not as drastic as college football, but there is just a size and strength difference, which makes Indiana, in the conference that it is, and Wyoming in the conference that it is. And I think those things will come about. So I haven't even really looked at the first four too much, to be honest, outside of the Rutgers-Notre Dame game is kind of interesting. But outside of that, I haven't even really looked at this Indiana-Wyoming game. I kind of just assume Indiana was going to win.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And that's fair. Yeah. There is a question from Tommy, Texas, Virginia Tech. Who do you guys got? I think we kind of touched on that a little bit, but did you want to dive into that a little bit more, Frank? I think this is an intriguing matchup, right? You talk about Virginia Tech playing pretty strong.
The numbers pick them right now, but I do think Texas is a little bit underrated in the market and a little bit underrated out there. I made them about a 2-point favorite, so I would take Texas in that game. But it's hard to account for the fact that Virginia Tech played extremely well in the tournament and towards the end of the season. So we'll see. I think they're a little bit, in general, I think they're a little bit undersized, but any of these teams have, you know, like a Virginia Tech that has really good guard play, over the last couple of years. You shoot 48% in a game and you can win it by 3, 4, 5 points, you know? So anything can happen. And a lot of these mid-level seeds are really jammed together this year.
All right, let's move over to the East. Zaga up at the top here. Again, we talked about them being the number one seed overall, second straight year. The fifth time number one seed, 23 straight appearances here in the NCAA tournament. Georgia State there. Boise State, Memphis, I think that's a... I always struggle, man, obviously, with these 8-9 games. You got Alabama in there at 6. You know, you mentioned Rutgers, Notre Dame in there, Texas Tech, Montana State, Davidson, and Duke, of course, at the number 2 spot there. Man, I don't know. I'm not saying that UConn will... I got this feeling for UConn. I don't think that if they win a couple games, I don't think that they can play Zaga. But, man, I really like their size. I think they can be an issue for some teams if they can, I don't know, if they can get their mojo and they can get going here. Get your thoughts on that. But I guess, like, this is a pretty good draw for Zaga overall, let's be honest, right?
It is beyond Duke. Yeah. I actually have Duke second in my model. I know they played pretty poorly down the stretch. They did get to the conference final championship game there, got waxed by UNC towards the end. But UNC is a better team, I think, than what we sort of perceived them to be. So outside of Duke, I like this draw. This is another bracket like what we just did, the West or the East. The West is a better bracket in terms of the top teams. Texas Tech, Duke, Gonzaga, Arkansas are all very good teams. One of those four, I think, overwhelmingly are going to come out of this side. Now, Gonzaga, number one team, my model by a decent margin. You know, you've heard that before. You know, all of us have thought for a number of years. I do think this year, more so than most, is sort of their best chance to win a national tournament because I think they're like a decent chunk better than all the other teams in the country, you know, a couple points better than all the other teams. But Duke is kind of an issue for me. I think Duke is very, very good. I'm probably solo on that. Their ability to play in the post with a team like Gonzaga that likes to get to the hoop and has size and NBA level strength and ability, Duke can match that. They're the one team in this corner that can match that. And, you know, they should or will run into Arkansas as well. Musselman is one of the best coaches in college basketball, in my opinion. Jalen Williams is probably the most underrated big man in college basketball because he doesn't look or present like a big man. He doesn't even play like one, but he is damn tough. And JD Notae balled out last year in the tournament and has balled out all year this year from the point guard position, really dynamic scorer. So the top four teams here are really tough. The Texas Tech Duke game will be really tough. I don't think, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are going to look at Michigan State. I think even at 7, I think they're overrated. I don't think they're a very good team. One of these four teams get through, in my opinion, and I think it'll be Gonzaga. But these, I'm kind of hoping to see the Gonzaga Arkansas Texas Tech Duke matchups in this bracket or in this region to see what comes out of that.
So not even like you don't even feel like that's an upset, obviously Arkansas at 4, but you think that that's a team that could really be an issue for Zaga and potentially maybe Duke later on down the road. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we'll break one more time, Frank. Hang on, and we'll wrap up with the Midwest, and we'll get your thoughts on why you think the Kansas Jayhawks will choke and not go the distance. It's a team that I root for, so I got to hear it from you. All right, we'll be back. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. Time to take a look at the Midwest region. We are talking to Frank Brank of FTNBets.com. Chris Meany here with you. You are watching live on Game Plus Network. So we have the Jayhawks up at the top, number one. I think Iowa's a team that's really going to give them some problems if I'm just looking ahead here. Providence at four, LSU in there as the sixth seed. I really like Miami, too. I'd love to hear your thoughts on Miami. I think that's an intriguing matchup, USC and Miami. I like the way that they play defense. Auburn, too, man. Auburn's a team that can really make some noise. I was thinking, too, when we were talking about Duke and Michigan State, I agree with all your Michigan State takes, but, I, you know, can we get Tom Izzo and Coach K, like, one more time? Like, that'd be a pretty fun narrative battle, I guess, yeah. In round two. But talk to me about this Midwest region here. What do you like? What do you dislike?
Yeah, in a weird way, this is the worst one seed and the easiest route. Like, if you put Gonzaga in this corner instead of Kansas,
oh yeah, the cruise.
It would have. Well, this is. I could make an argument that they should be flipped, right? Like, this is the easiest route in the worst one seed. If that makes sense, I have Kansas six overall. I think they're rightfully in based on resume as the one seed here when you consider everything else. And, you know, I would have Duke favored against them if they were to make, you know, the championship. So Final Four odds in my simulations gave Kansas the second best odds to make the Final Four because this corner in comparison to the one above it even, like, is so much worse, right? I have Auburn ranked 10th overall. They're a two seed here. Iowa, they played well down the stretch and they run really fast. But I think they're one of, or the worst five seed. Providence is easily the worst four seed. So I do think Kansas gets through overall, but along the way, I do think there's value, in a sleeper here of, you know, you could probably take a number of teams, like you said, USC, Miami, a good matchup there. Whoever wins that game could potentially go on a little bit of a run. But I like South Dakota State the best, just sort of, you know, you said bracket busters. I think they have the best chance to win some games here.
Yeah. Didn't they go undefeated in their conference play? One of two 18 teams, 20-0?
18-0, I think, in the summit. Then whatever the conference, I'm not sure if that counts the conference tournament or not, but they obviously won that as well.
Yeah, they obviously won that. So they're a sleeper team as well. So who were the, you said you had Duke over Kansas, and was it Tennessee maybe you would have over Kansas as well if you were just like looking grand scheme of things?
Kentucky.
Yep. Yeah. So okay. I agree. You said it may not make sense, but it does, right? It's like the worst one seed with pretty much the best draw. So all these teams, and it's funny, right? We're talking about the one seed and who has the toughest and which of the teams maybe won't go the distance. And you think Kansas, right? But then you look at the matchups and you think that maybe they could potentially make some noise. So just let's bring this up again one more time, Tino. I think that this may be, even though you said like all these teams are kind of like, I don't know, I'm putting words in your mouth, like wishy-washy, like maybe just you don't feel too confident picking them. But this is like the part of the bracket where we may see all those like red lines. Like this could be like hard to predict, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the team that's probably flying under the radar the most is maybe Wisconsin. Played well down the stretch.
Sure, yeah.
Good shooting team, right? They can play with anybody, particularly on this side. I you know, if we talked about Baylor in North Carolina, that game maybe being about a 5-point spread. I think Kansas would only really be favored by like six against San Diego State if they played them. I could see that as a potential upset spot. South Dakota State, we just said about them, but they're the number one 3-point shooting team in the country. You know, they're going to go up against a Providence team that is a 2-point favorite. How many four seeds do you see that are 2-point favorites? I mean, that is absolutely crazy. But Providence doesn't shoot the ball well. And South Dakota State is going to have a run in that game where they get really hot and they bang a bunch of threes in a row. And Providence is going to have to counter with that. They can rely on their size. They have a big size advantage, as most of these bigger schools do against, the smaller schools. But they don't shoot well from inside the 3-point line. Their bigs aren't skilled on the offensive side. So if or when South Dakota State gets hot, how does Providence respond is going to be a big portion of that. And then you we're going to end up with, well, we should end up with Iowa, South Dakota State, and Richmond even played well down the stretch, but they could easily upset Iowa in that game. But if we do end up with South Dakota State beating Providence as a 2-point dog, they're going to get Iowa. And I would make a case that Iowa's decently better than Providence, but I think the market would too. They're going to be favored by more than that. But that's going to be such a high-paced game. Iowa had the fastest pace in the Big Ten, and they're going to go up against a Providence or a South Dakota State team that runs really fast and shoots the ball really well. That could be the highest scoring game in the tournament, at least in maybe in regulation, unless we get a crazy OT game. That could be the highest scoring game in the tournament. And what comes with that is a lot of variance, right? So I could easily see a South Dakota State team being a couple points dogs to both of those teams. And then who knows, maybe Kansas does get upset, or, you know, or they get hot against Kansas or something like that. The South Dakota State team, not to hark on it too much, they remind me of the Oral Roberts team from last year, where they have a lot of guys that shoot really, really well, and they're undersized. Mm-hmm. That Oral Roberts team beat Florida, who had two bigs that were way better than them, and they couldn't shoot it down the stretch, and Oral Roberts did shoot down the stretch. So it's really just going to come down to who makes the shots and who makes the free throws at the end of a lot of these games. And a team like that can just light it up, it gives them a lot of opportunity. In the bottom half of that bracket, I like Auburn. I think they're good. They kind of limped in down the stretch, but could easily see USC or Miami beating them. I can see Wisconsin beating them. It's this whole side is completely up in the air.
Yeah, it really is. Guard play is, I think you agree, the key to the entire tournament, right? I mean, so you have the shooters and you have the bigs. Yeah, at the end of the day, I do believe it comes down to that. I like the Richmond call. I was watching Coach Carter last week just to get me fired up, right? All the college basketball movies, Rich, what? You know, just getting in the right mindset, Frank. That's it. That's what it's all about for me. We only got about a minute or two left. I want to get your final four, put you on the spot, but there is one question here from Tommy Robertson, and I love the questions and want you guys to be part of this show, so if you have them, you got the expert here to help you out. So he says, any leans on San Diego State versus Creighton and Seton Hall versus TCU? Any leans there?
Yeah, let me just grab these games real quick. San Diego State. Yeah. I do like San Diego State over Creighton. I know Creighton played well at the beginning of the year, but for the better part of their season, they were kind of underwhelming. I think the Big East in general was not great, and you know, they had a lot of sort of blowouts there. So I do lean towards San Diego State in that game. That's going to be a very slow, low-scoring game there. What was the other one? TCU?
TCU, Seton Hall.
That's a really good one. I'm actually right on market there. I make Seton Hall about a one-point favorite, total 129.5. Nothing to do there. That's another slower game with two teams that are well-coached and pretty underrated as well. I think TCU, Jamie Dixon, ex-Pitt guy, pretty good coach. Those guys always show up to play, and you know, that'll be a sort of punchy in the mouth sort of a game there, but no real leans in those ones outside of small lean towards San Diego State.
Do you have a Final Four yet already, or are you still kind of weighing that out? I can tell you're still weighing it out. We only got about like 30 seconds too. So
from like a number side, I would just pick all the one seeds, right? Because they're the best team.
The chalk.
But if I from my personal wants, I would say Gonzaga, Purdue, Houston, of course, because I'm really in deep with them, and then maybe Wisconsin.
All right,
or South Dakota State, because I've talked about them a lot. Maybe they.
You have. We have talked them up quite a bit. Yeah, I think we're all on that train now. We're all rooting for it. Frank, appreciate it, dude. I know this was just, you know, quick time. You still got a couple days to kind of dive into all this. So, great work as always. Check out Frank on Twitter, and we will have all kinds of bet and content for you over at FTMBets.com. Tino's in here next. Keep her locked. All right, two more segments here on Mean Streets. Went a little long with Frank, but got it super excited there with the Madness talk. Tino, you want to just get into baseball? You and I will have an opportunity to get into Madness and kind of, you know, go back and forth as well. There's a lot of player movement here. I mean, Carlos Rodon was the first one to get signed. Minnesota was trading guys, acquiring guys. They made a lot of moves as well. And, you know, your Mets, Chris Bassitt. Ottavino, right? They picked up a reliever there. And Joe Kelly, I mean, the White Sox get another strong reliever in there as well. I mean, things still haven't really officially gone underway, but we've seen some movement. What do you make so far of all the moves, particularly the Twins, man, making moves?
Right. So obviously, I think Chris Bassitt is a name that's floating around that, you know, it depends your take on it. I think you have to realize the Mets are in it to win it right now, and they're going to go all in. And I think this bolsters their pitching rotation in a market that didn't have much pitching. But the thing that stands out the most, and up until last night at about 10:30, we didn't have anything to really touch on this board. And then the Yankees come out of left field and finally get rid of Gary Sanchez. I think the one name no one mentions, and I've said this and I tell all my Yankee friends, that they've never appreciated Gio Urshela. And I think he's a guy, especially late round in fantasy baseball, is someone you got to be keen to. I don't really love the idea that they're going to get Josh Donaldson. Right now, the projected lineup is going to be Judge, Stanton, Gallo, and Josh Donaldson. How many strikeouts is too many strikeouts in that lineup? I don't know. It seems like there's another move to come, so it's all going to be speculation. But I think that's the one that pops out. No, I mean, I talked about Connor Falefa with you. I mean, I like that move for them at short. I just don't know what else they're doing there, you know, with Josh Donaldson going to third base. He can't really field anymore, so.
I don't know who's going to catch for them either. It's not like Sanchez was a great catcher to begin
with. Well, they got Higashioka, who, you know, was the better catcher last year, but is he going to be an everyday guy? I don't know.
30 seconds. Mets, they're going to continue to spend, correct?
Yeah.
What's next for them?
Not as much.
Another
as
bullpen
thinks.
Arm?
Yeah, I think so. They added Adam Ottavino too, obviously. I think it's going to be things like that. I think they get down with the trade market too. They have a cluster of guys in J.D. Davis, Dom Smith, and Jeff McNeil. I think one of those guys could be on the outside looking in, mainly because there's a logjam at DH with Robinson Cano. And yes, I said Robinson Cano coming back and playing for the Mets this season. So I'd expect another trade less than a signing. So probably no Chris Bryant, unfortunately.
All right. So, Tino, left you short, only a couple minutes, but, you know, the big names will start to fall here, I think, today, tomorrow, and you and I will dive deep into some of the free agency stuff happening in the NFL as well. So we'll say goodbye to Tino. We'll say hello to him again tomorrow, and we'll wrap up here with a little bit of hockey talk on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Only one game on the ice, so not a lot of hockey talk here to wrap it up. But let's start with the three stars from last night. Wanted to give a lot of love to Cole Sillinger. Of course, you know Roman Josi. He had the 4 points. Pretty impressive. Darcy Kuemper had the 46-save shutout against the Calgary Flames. These guys are owned. But Cole Sillinger is owned in 1% of Yahoo leagues. He had the hat trick last night, 6 shots. He had 3 hits. He played up inside the top six, you know, with no with an injury up front to Boone Jenner. Cole Sillinger is going to get a lot more ice time. And he played 16:58 last night. He was living in the 10-minute range. He had games at sub-10 minutes against the Leafs and the Bruins. He played 6:50. He's not going to get a hat trick every night. He does have 11 goals on the season. But just keep an eye on him from a DFS standpoint. If you're in a deeper league, he can certainly help you out. Bjorkstrand, who he was playing with yesterday, also had the 4-point night. But it's more impressive when a defenseman has 4 points. But Cole Sillinger is somebody to certainly keep an eye on. And then it is week 21 of the fantasy hockey season. So these are the teams that play 4 games this week that could help you out if you're looking for just a little bit more from your moves. These are players that can help you out and just maybe to get into the playoffs, some fantasy hockey playoff time. So Tino, if you do have that board, flip to it. And you see there, Schmaltz is just on a point per game basis. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, it's unsustainable what he's doing, but if you're in a deeper league, he can help you out. Arizona plays tonight, and they're 3 more games the rest of the week. Anders Lee is somebody that we talked about last week. He's got goals in 3 straight. Ryan Strome is most likely owned, but that's the only Ranger that I would grab. Josh Norris is starting to heat up. We're going to see Drake Batherson here soon. For San Jose, if you need some blocks, Jacob Middleton, absolutely everybody that you want for the Sharks is owned. If Logan Couture is hanging around, you grab him just like Ryan Strome, but they're hanging around 65-70% of the league, so probably not. Same thing with Vancouver. All the guys you want are most likely owned, but Tanner Pearson's playing on that top line. JT Miller's been red hot. Anthony Mantha is the guy, guys. That second line in Washington with Backstrom and TJ Oshie. We'll look for them to really, I've noticed them over the past couple games and they've been feeling it. So look for them to continue to roll. I got Lindell on that board too for blocks just because with the injury to Heiskanen, rather, he's going to be out. So Lindell could help you out there. And on the way out, some picks here. I do like Ottawa tonight, but I mean, it's Ottawa and they're juiced. Thomas Chabot over 2.5 shots. Shane Gostisbehere over 1.5 shots. 4 shots and 3 shots in his last 2 games. No Jacob Chychrun, so he should get around 24-25 minutes of ice time. Other than that, you're on your own. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a good one. Cheers.